truth?
I'm all ears.
Okay. The truth.
I always tell the truth, even when I lie.
Why do you find it so hard to believe?
Why do you find it so easy?
It's never been easy!
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
All I'm offering is the truth. Nothing more.
Hello and welcome to Truthful Talk. I am your host, Marco DeGeorge. And for our very first episode, I just want to kind of get everyone aligned with what we're doing. I'm here today with Natalie Bulaich. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm excellent.
So for those of you who might not know me or who we are here, I am a actor, director, teacher. I teach at a studio that I have called Truthful Acting Studios. We're an acting conservatory located in Orlando, Florida. And, I initially had this concept of this podcast, Truthful Talk, to get on and just talk about whatever, are things that we deal with as artists, as human beings. And I started up this podcast several years ago and just due to life ended up not continuing with it. And so now we're getting back going with it again. And I'm so excited to be here with you, Natalie. It's so great to have you on this.
I'm super excited. This is an exciting moment. It's a good day.
Oh, I like that. And so I think, as we go on and progress through the different shows, we're going to be talking about things definitely as it relates to acting. We're going to be doing different interviews throughout the different podcasts and even talking about just topical issues, life issues, whatever really comes to mind. That's kind of the goal of Truthful Talk. Is it's not only going to be the technical aspects of a singular art form, but really just anything. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, this thing we call life as we're going through it together.
So for those of you who may not know Natalie is probably one of the most amazing actors I know. And I had the fortune to direct her on stage, and it has been just a blessing. You're amazing, Natalie. You don't know what to say.
There's no words. only the fact that just the gratitude that I have for what you do here, you and your lovely, lovely wife, Samantha DeGeorge and Rob Moss. It's just, I just feel like all I did was show up and do the work. And you guys have guided me through it. And continuing this journey with all of you just is something that I'm so excited to see unfold, so like each day with you guys is there's nothing I'd rather do, than just to work on this craft with you and Samantha, set designer Samantha DeGeorge, like award-winning Rob Moss. I mean, it's a special place. So all I just, I have you at the helm and I'm so grateful.
I've been fortunate. Now, well, I'm going to talk about this in a future episode. I'll have my wife Sam on with us. And I've been really fortunate that Sam and I can work so closely together in this, mm-hmm. in the theater and in acting in the studio and everything, because not everyone gets to have that. And it's been, I get asked a lot, like, how do you do that? How do you have a home life? And then how do you work together? Cause we're told, I remember I was told never work with the people you like.
Right. Let alone the people you love.
Yes. And it works out so well.
And you guys, you're not here for 2 hours, just working on something. I mean, you guys are the first ones here and the last ones to leave with every show you've done, the work that she puts in it. It's very difficult to put into words, but it's just you guys have something that I don't know if it's, of course, it's a true partnership, but you guys jive off of each other. You like allow each other to be in your own zones, your own creative element. And she's in her element. And she knows when you're in your element. And there is no power dynamic or struggle in regards to it. Sometimes some people feel uncomfortable when there is a husband and wife team, or 'cause they get real, I don't know. I don't know. It's more ugly than helpful or purposeful. You know, you guys were just, you really work beautiful together. And there's so much, and there's so many questions I have because, like, I don't know how you do it. You guys have an incredible amount of children, a beautiful family. You've got several different jobs, and there's so much that happens. So when I see you guys work together and just allow you to, you guys give your everything every day. And I'm like, when are they going to just like, oh, I need a vacation or I'd like to go on vacation. And every single time, if I talk to you privately or Samantha privately, all you guys say is, I love what I do.
Yeah. Well, that's really, I think, the secret to it, right, is you have to love what you do. And we do. We love what we do. You know, it wasn't, when we first started working together, it wasn't all puppies and rainbows. You know, it wasn't always that, just because we had to find our lanes, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I learned very quickly to respect Sam's design. She's design, and that's what she is.
Yeah.
And so if I'm coming in as a director, I've learned to stay in my lane. Mm-hmm. And it's not that the director doesn't have say into design, but she knows way more than I do. So I, you know, I would be foolish to try to overstep what she's saying or try to, you know, even argue it. Instead, I've learned, no, let it in. She's way smarter than I am when it comes to design. And it's, yeah, I mean, she's won all these awards and she's acclaimed at what she does, and it just makes everything better. So I love working with her because it makes me better.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but it did, you know, in the beginning, of course, there's this ego part of you that's like, no, I think I want to control all of that. And I'm a control freak. So, but we've both learned, you know, she's learned how to work with me and I've learned how to work with her. And really where I'm at now as a director is I tell her, okay, this is what I want the audience to feel. This is what I want the audience to like, to see the characters go through this progression, and she figures it out.
And she's not just what I would consider a set designer. She is a contractor as well.
Yeah.
She is a physical person. She has the chainsaw. She's building.
She builds
these
the sets
yeah. from scratch, and you can tell she's in a zone, and she has this leadership. Purposeful, I don't know what it is, but I know it is a creative source. And it always just blows my mind how that the allowance, I guess, is what you're saying too. Just let her do her thing. And maybe these are things that I want here and there. And she fascinates me. I've never seen anyone like do, especially as a woman. I mean, that's a whole nother podcast in and of itself,
right,
to see, you know, a woman do what she does. And transforms these sets into apartments, into classroom. I mean, it's just phenomenal. And it just amazes me that you guys have that connection as artists, because that's how I see you both as. I always had something in my head from growing up after wanting to be an actress. I always thought I could never date an actor or marry an actor, because I don't know, because maybe because my little journey is how I prep for roles or whatever. It's, I don't know, it's so personal. But see you guys do it together, like two, because she's an actress as well.
Yeah.
But it's just, it blows my mind. It's just like it's beautiful to see, and what comes out of it is extraordinary.
Yeah. And that's the fortunate thing is because we stumbled in. So we have a theater company, for those of you who don't know, and the theater company is called Theater on the Edge. And we now specialize in something called cinematic theater. Cinematic theater is kind of a blend between film technique and stage technique. We're a small, intimate theater, which gives us advantages that big theaters don't have. For example, we can create, and Samantha does the creation of these, we don't call them sets, we call them environments. So that, and they're film level detail. so that when an audience is looking at it, the detail, it's as if we're getting ready to shoot a film. That's how detailed everything is. And it's the sets, it's the wardrobe, it's the props, it's literally everything.
Yeah, on top of that, the wardrobe, that's a whole nother, sorry, I don't mean to even interrupt, but it's like so many things that goes into it, and she makes it seem like it just effortless. And I guess that's what mastery is at the end of it. And she's just a master at what she does.
She cares so much.
She loves it so much.
You know, I remember when we were doing a play called Proof, and she was building a back porch. It was a Chicago home back porch type of thing. And so Chicago homes are made out of brick for the most part, especially in this area of Chicago that we were replicating. And so I was like, how are we going to do brick? And I remember talking about, well, do we do actual brick? And I was like, okay, no, it's way too expensive and way too heavy. And we can't structurally do that. But when she came and figured out, she created foam bricks. She got foam from, I don't know where she gets her stuff from, but she finds places and actually had, it was 1,300 foam bricks, and actually bricked the wall with actual Marsite and everything else and painted it. And it's just incredible that each brick was hand carved and to make it look authentic. And halfway through the process, I remember she was going through shades of different color, making it look very authentic brick, and did the whole wall, the whole stage, and didn't like it. Mm. And she's like, what do I do? What do we do? And it was like, you got to keep going until you're happy.
Yeah.
And so she then scrapped it and did it the whole thing again. And it was just, that's the level of artistry she's at. She's going to keep going until it's exactly what it needs to be. And it's incredible.
It is incredible. There was one time when we were doing, doing the environment, the set for Say Goodnight Gracie's, which was based in the 70s. And she had purchased the sink, and the sink has the, what is it? The drain that goes from the sink into the wall. And it's brand new, you know, the year that we did it. What was it? 2021?
Yeah. I think it was a couple of years ago.
a couple of years ago, which is crazy. But she.
2022, I think.
Yeah, 2022. But I remember seeing her with her head underneath the sink, and her hands are covered in like a rusty, dirty, silvery thing. I'm like, what you doing, Sam? And she's like, oh, this looks way too new. This does not have the 70s dirtiness that I need. And she was just on that for hours and hours. And it's just one example of everything she touches.
And she loves doing that. She loves de-stressing things and making it look aged. And loves doing that.
And the eye like that she has for it, because, I wouldn't be able to. It's not in my wheelhouse to understand like that needs to look older. Like she wants it authentic as possible.
And that's what I love. It's, I'll tell her, this is the feel I want. And then she'll figure out the color palette. She'll figure out like all of that.
It's amazing.
And, when you have that, I think that brings up an interesting topic of how important collaboration is in art. We can't, as artists, we can't do this alone.
No.
When I say you can't do it alone, of course you can isolate yourself and do your best to be alone doing your own art. But why? Because together we can come up with things that are so much greater than what we can do individually.
It's almost how I see it. It's parallel. It's in tandem with, it's life lessons, believe it or not, in my experience of learning acting. And it's just, it dawned on me just a couple years ago. It's like, even life, you don't do this shit alone. You're never alone. You think you are. You think everything you've done is maybe based because I've done this and I'm very focused on, but there's someone else who has helped you or maybe along the way. So I just find that when we are doing the prep work and everything like that, it's just, the collaboration is, that's like the key element. It's necessary. If not, first of all, it's not a joy to even do.
Right.
It's miserable. But the more you realize like, oh yeah, I need these people and they also need me. So there's not it's not a conceit, but then you feel like this is what I'm bringing to the table. Some kind of worth to the table that it's not all about me. It's about the family that's involved or becomes, I guess, family.
I think that's probably the biggest thing I learned as a director. is not to try to control everything.
That's huge.
It's a big deal, right? Because as a director, you think going into it that it's like you have to have all of the answers. And you have to be able to, like, right from day one, you have to know everything. And your job is to tell the actors or to tell the crew or whatever it is to say this is how it's going to be. And I think the biggest thing I learned is not to know everything, but to go into it with a collaborative mindset of saying, hey, we're in this together. Let's figure it out together. Because that includes the other artists now.
Yes.
That includes the actors, the crew. Like that's how Sam and I have learned to work together. That's how you and I have learned to work together. It's like, I, you know, because if I'm directing and you're acting, you know more about your character than I do. I mean, I know what I want from the story, but you're doing the work on that individual person. And so you're going to have so much to offer that I could never come up with on my own.
But that openness that you have, that willingness that you have to collaborate with people, just in general, there's not a lot of people don't work that way. So when you find them, you just want to latch on for years and years and years and years and years, because you just, there's something that you start learning. And I want to say it becomes an independence, like I said before, a confidence maybe you build with yourself that somebody else. It's like, no, I don't know what you do, all the work that you do. And you recognize, like, yeah, I have been doing work. Let me see. And it's from a loving place. But the openness that you have is so unique. And it's not just as a director. I've seen you with countless numbers of students over and over again. And I almost think it's something that you're born with. And you said that you had to, like, learn it. But I feel like you have that already. I think that's been innate with you. I've only known you now for like 8 years, but every time I think, oh, this might be the day he might just freak out on somebody. This might be the day.
It takes a lot for that to
happen. Never, I love that it doesn't. And it's like you're able to just be so patient and be okay to be like, oh, we're going to find out together the unknown, like the journey together. There's a safety there that's needed to go to the places that we need to go to as actors, but even as students learning this craft. I've been with some teachers that were brutal. And I think just how you are, the openness that you have, the ability to be like, oh, let's find out together. I don't know how. Yeah, I'm just, that's the mystery. Like, as I look at you, I'm like, I just don't know how you're so grounded and open. It's awesome.
Five children. it teaches you patience.
That's so funny.
You know, because I think back to my previous life in the corporate world, and I was more stressed. And it is stressed from the standpoint of just wanting to control everything more.
Yeah.
And not that I didn't have a sense of collaboration, but in the corporate world, you don't. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it falls on me and that's the stress. And then I got to have my team work on it and whatever. But I was much more stressed back then. So I did learn it. Mm-hmm. I always had the drive, the drive to want to do the best I can. Like anytime I set out to do something, it was, I didn't want to just do okay at it. It was like, no, I want to master this.
Yeah.
That's just, I don't know. So I think it's just, that might be how I'm built. I was way more shy when I was younger, so I took less risks. So I think just as you get older, you just learn how to do that. I don't know. And I definitely have learned collaboration throughout the years. It's not something. Like, I don't remember being so collaborative in high school or in college. I was, but not to this point, because fear is what keeps you in that control state.
Yeah.
The fear of not doing well, fear of the unknown, fear of not having all the answers. And I was always somebody that wanted to have all the answers.
Right.
And so, but the most liberating thing ever, and especially I learned it as a director and also as a teacher, is not thinking you know everything and in being okay not knowing everything.
Yeah.
I actually love that now. My favorite part of directing is not knowing who the characters are when we start. Not knowing where it's going to lead. Yes. We don't even block a show until the very end.
Nope. And that drives a lot of the actors bananas, the nervous wrecks. And some of the actors neurotic, you know, just because that's what they've been dealing with their whole lives. And they have this opportunity to discover this character, but they need to know what's going to happen next. I need to know. And then you come in and I'm like, okay, what do you have any questions? And they're like, yeah. What's next? Yeah. You're like, well, I don't know. We're going to find out together.
Find
and
out.
They're just like,
they want to know, like, what are we doing next?
But then they get into the vibe of that probably never has happened to them in their lives, that somebody said, I don't know. We're going to figure it out together. You know, but that's a huge benefit for people to be able to have. And that's the beginning of letting go, I guess, and finding, discovering things together.
Yeah.
Which is, we spent hours on the table just talking about and the characters and you sitting there, you know, as the sixth man is what I call it, you know, the silent one that's there. But it was a discovery. So you have the patience really to allow all of us, including yourself, discover it together. And it just becomes, again, more collaborative. You start, I don't know, taking ownership in a way together. That's like a...
Yeah, I think patience is a big factor. A lot, so many people don't have patience. And and I get it. I mean, early on, I don't think I had patience in high school and college. I mean, this is going back, I'm much older. But it's but still, like, thinking back to then, I don't think I had the patience.
Mm-hmm.
But you do learn it, and it is something. Patience is something, if you're somebody that's not patient, you can learn it. And it's really just about taking a deep breath and being in this moment and not worrying about the future moments. You know, when I really think about it, the Meisner approach, which is what we teach at Truthful Acting, it's the basis of what we teach. I think that changed me more than anything. I think when I learned it myself as an actor and then as a teacher, I took it to heart so much that I implemented it in every part of my life. And the basis, for those of you who don't know, we teach something called the Meisner approach, or the Meisner technique, which is based on the teachings of Sanford Meisner. It's a legendary teacher throughout the 20th century. And the basis of the teaching is essentially be here now, right? It's a very philosophical thing. But in acting, that's what it's all about. It's about being in the present moment, not pre-planning in your mind or thinking about what you should do or what you should say, but really just living in the moment. And the more you're in the present moment, the less you're in your head thinking or worrying about either past things or future things. And when I implemented those teachings of acting into my actual life, I found myself gaining patience, gaining the ability to collaborate, the ability to let go of control, all of those things. So it really, to me, the teachings did it for me. You know, when I first worked with, I worked with a teacher named Larry Silverberg, who's just phenomenal. And he was one that really did my more in-depth training into this. And he had that very same thing, that very compassionate, very patient approach to everything, but powerful, like immensely powerful. And I remember, you know, just working with Larry thinking, man, that's what I want to be. That's where I need to be at that point.
It's so interesting. I think a lot about this Meisner approach to it. I agree completely. It does change you. It just makes you, I want to say, hopefully for me, a better, more engaged human being with, at the very basis, the people that I'm around with the most. It makes you aware of being in the moment. It's not constantly, but it's a practice. But then I just realized that relaxation, or whatever that is, that letting go-ness, the caring of someone else completely, then it starts happening to yourself little by little. It's like it chips away at an identity that maybe socially that we've adopted also for ourselves. And it starts getting closer to who you are as, I don't even know, as what is driving this body. I mean, it's just, it addresses so many just questions about life that I didn't even know that I was going down that rabbit hole. I just right. wanted to become an actress. I don't know why or how or whatever, but it interested me. And the more that I just learn about it, the more it's just, it interests me even more. And it is a practice also.
I believe that to be the best artist, actor you can be, you have to incorporate this into your life.
Yeah.
And that's just maybe for me personally, I don't know, but I don't know how you could be such a worried person in life and be able then to just let it go on stage or in camera. To me, you have to, acting is a life process, mm-hmm. not just a technical acting process. It's you have to change your
It changes
life.
You. It does.
If you
change
allow it,
if
it will
you allow
change
it
you.
To.
Yeah.
I don't understand how someone can be like a complete whatever, asshole, whatever it is outside in the real world. Whatever, super negative, and then come in, then be you playing a compassionate character, whatever that is. I don't know how, but I just feel like they bleed into both sides. The learning this technique helps you become a better actor, but then it just literally you can't fake because it makes you become a better person. It's just it's a powerful thing that I was talking to somebody before that I didn't recognize also that everybody should, students of all ages, and a lot of your students are not like super young. You know, you've got 20 somethings and up, really.
Yeah.
A lot of middle age and up. But no matter what career path they chose, whether they want to take this as far as they can, but it works. If they're a doctor, if they're a nurse, if they're a contract, anything, it makes you better. So I try to get some people who are anti-acting coach or teaching, classes. Like, you would really benefit from this. And of course, they embrace it like, no way, I'm not doing that. Are you crazy? And they're like the ones who need it the most.
It's interesting when we have non-actors take the class, meaning somebody from the professional world, a lawyer, someone in the medical field, mm-hmm. engineers, mm-hmm. Just business people will come in and take an acting class simply because maybe they want to just open up, present better, mm-hmm. whatever it is. And then they fall in love with it. And yeah. I love that. I love when the artistic side opens up in somebody and they just, because you need this in life.
You do.
We've seen so many great changes here in people.
So many. I can't even, I've been here for a long time, so I can't class after class, year after year, at least for 8 years. And I just know that 98% of the people who leave, just it does something to them. It changes them and they literally open up. They become brighter people. It's fascinating, especially after the Meisner too. Go through the deep work. And then, I just think it's so beneficial.
Yeah. And so for those out there, so the way our classes are structured, we have like Meisner 1 is the name of a class. It's a semester. So think about it like a university. We have like a semester of work that they do. And then they go into the Meisner 2, which is the second semester, which is called emotional life. And that's where we get in and learn about what emotion is and where it comes from and how we express it and how and why we try to stop that expression of it. And so we really work on the deeper side of a human being. Because Sandy Meisner once said that in order to be a better actor, you must first be a better, more fully functioning human being. Meaning, just like you were saying before, mm-hmm. you can't be so closed off in the world and expect to be magically open as an actor. Whatever your blocks are in the real world, mm-hmm. emotionally, mentally, whatever, that will immediately translate into your acting. Those are going to be blocks in your character work and in your acting work.
It's amazing. Like how the psychology of all of that, of human beings, how it just affects something that we call acting. But that is exactly it, the everythingness of the human being. To get past that, to get through that. It's work.
It's I think people don't understand that. And I think it's there to some degree in all art forms. I mean, I think in all art forms, you have to open yourselves up. But I don't know if it's to the extent of acting. Because acting, we're using our full self. We're using our body. We're using our voice. We're using our emotions. It's so vulnerable. And not that singing or playing an instrument or, of course, there's vulnerability and there's creativity in that. But it's more singular, mm-hmm. I think. It's not, we're not actually putting ourselves out there. Maybe dancing. Dancing is very, very physical, very mm-hmm. Exposing, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of the art forms overlap in what they teach, but acting, there's something about it that really the hard work is becoming the best version of yourself possible. Because if you can become the best version of yourself, really work on yourself, mm-hmm. it immediately helps you and thrusts you into the world that we do on stage or on camera.
It's, yeah, all encompassing. It's the mental, the physical, with the body, the voice, the spiritual, energetic. We can go into the Chekhovian world as well, which mm-hmm. is the same thing. But there's definitely something about acting that involves the entire unit, that you cannot miss one section of it. Because if you do, then you're not that complete person, or you can't bring that character to its completion, as which is a work and always in progress. But it's like you have to really see yourself, work on, be honest where your deficits are, you know, the failing, which is that word that now it's, I love that it's being utilized in a positive, like you have to, because that's how success comes. You have to grow through it. So there's a lot of self-esteem that comes with that if you're willing to do that kind of work. Do you find that people who are hesitant to the work, do you find that they eventually come through the other side, or do you find like a mix between people who, I'm just curious about people who gave up, because I know that
So that's, I think that's what we see. If anyone sticks through the process,
yeah,
they make it through the other side.
Yeah.
If they really are resistant, they quit.
Yeah.
And that's what we'll see. So people quit before they make it through the process. They're right in the very beginning of our training, it's like right in your face as far as we're working on you as a human being. And some people don't like that. And it's not like we're doing it in any sort of aggressive way. It's very fun. It's very collaborative. It's very inspiring. That's kind of how we teach. But some people don't want that. They don't want the human connection. They don't want to be told that they can improve in any way. That's the ego that has them.
Yeah.
And they say they resist it.
And there's nothing that you can do on your side as a teacher, right? I mean, I'm always curious about that.
I used to, it's a good question, because I used to take it personally, I guess, or I used to have that responsibility that I would carry, that it's like, oh, I need to save everyone. I need, if I could just get them and bring them along. And I've learned over the years that I can't do something for somebody else that they're not ready to do. It's like therapy. You can't force someone to go to therapy. They have to want to get better, or they have to want to work on themselves.
Yeah.
The art is the same way. If someone's willing to work on themselves, I'm willing to go all in.
Yeah.
But if they're not, I can't force them to do it.
There's something that I just read and I earmarked it, and then I wrote it on the page itself. And let's see if I can just pull it up quickly, because I there it is.
And this is out of Sandy's book, Sanford Meisner on Acting.
It's something about, of course it's about acting, but he says, restraint is a virtue as an actor, but reticence isn't. Because, you want to engage, and you know it's not going to be easy. And then when you are shown that, oh, wow, this is emotionally meaningful to me, and if you don't go through it on your own with a teacher, with your guidance, God forbid you get an amazing part.
Yeah.
Because if you get there and you can't, let's say, perform, or you can't show up with the work because of your own unwillingness to do that, do the work, then you can't. There's no way. By sheer luck, I don't know. But it's just, I always think of it as a mental thing. Like, you really have to be mentally ready to go on the journey. And it scares me, people who are not mentally prepared. There's so many actors who didn't make it based upon just their personal experience in life with addiction, with whatever it is, young stars. It kind of, I'm not scared about a lot. Maybe I am, but that's something that pops up in my head. It's like people who aren't ready to be thrust in a place of such responsibility emotionally.
Yes.
It scares me.
Yeah. Well, as it should.
Okay.
Because, you know, as an actor and as a director, I've gotten to the point where I can identify who's ready for a deep emotional work and who's not. I didn't always have that skill, but I can now. And when I'm teaching directors, I try to show them, okay, this is what to look for. This is what not to look for when you're casting actors. Mm-hmm. But for those of you out there who, you know, to try to break this down for you a little more, essentially it takes an incredible amount of training to do what we do, to do this thing called acting. I know it, you know, if you're not familiar with it, it looks easy from the outside. And it just by design, it's great actors make the process look easy. It looks like we're not doing anything because they're just human beings living. So we think that, oh, well, acting is just memorizing lines and just speaking them because it's, you know, it doesn't take much more than that. But the truth is it's incredibly difficult. It takes years and years and years of training. You know, the great actors have had years and years and years of training. Before they've, you know, made it or gotten to where they are. And the emotional work especially is something we need to be trained in because we need to be trained how to step into that emotional life in a very safe way. And then we need to learn how to step out of that emotional life in a very safe way. And when we work with other actors, as a director, I've been here before. And then as an actor, I've been here before, working with actors who I consider unsafe, which typically unsafe means untrained. Or trained in a, in an opposing method, let's say, you know, in a methodology that is not really safe. It's dangerous because when we're going into the deep level of emotions that we need to go into for our character, if it's not controllable, if it's not done in such a way where we can contain it and we can do it safely and we can express, you know, then all of a sudden it could lead to physicality. It can lead to like damage, either the actor damaging themselves, hitting somebody else, damaging equipment or sets or, you know, all sorts of different things. It can lead to an actor not being able to what we call step out or trigger out of what they're doing. As an actor, we need to be able to step into the life of the character, but we must be able to separate and step out of that at any moment. And unless you're trained to do that, many actors can't. And it's intimidating to think about, oh, I'm going to work with this actor who is, when they go to an emotional state, is out of control. And so that's why training is so incredibly important. So if any of you are thinking about taking up acting, or it's acting is not an easy thing to do. It's so worth it. And it's the joy you get from it is incredible, but it's a lot of hard work and it takes years. There are no quick approaches to acting, you know, wherever you are in the world. If anyone's trying to sell you, oh, I can make you an actor very quickly. They can't.
Nope.
It doesn't work like that.
Nope.
It's an art form. It takes years and years and years to develop and to master it. And that's what we work on. That's part of what we work on here. You know, being a conservatory, which means a deep level focus of study, where we work with actors over the course of years. The goal is to make sure that an artist, an actor can safely step into the life of a character and then safely step out of that life and not have, in no way should a character that you're playing have any negative effect or in any way damage you as a person or the life that you're living.
No, it shouldn't.
It's a separate.
Yes. And the emotional maturity one must have through learning this craft but I really truly feel that there is you have to be emotionally mature to be able to accept those posts, to be able to step into the life, step out of the life. If I feel, or, you know, I know people who had issues stepping out of it. Months later, I find out that I worked with. And sometimes I think to myself, well, had I known, because I'm not dealing with somebody who can maturely end that mentally, the focus that they have, maybe, you know, it's a fascinating concept. It really is. But I think that emotional maturity in general is just difficult to come by.
It's difficult. Right. That's the thing. It's like, you know, people will go to therapy for years trying to just get a handle on their own emotional maturity. Yeah. And that's what the same thing we're doing in acting.
Yeah.
Which brings up another point. Since it's our first episode, and, you know, whoever's listening out there, if you're thinking about getting into acting, or if you are, you know, starting your acting journey, make sure, do your due diligence when looking for an acting school. Audit a class if they let you, go speak to the instructors, don't just go by name alone. Make sure you go and talk to the actual instructors, maybe other actors that have gone there. Not all acting schools are equal. And you want to make sure that you feel safe going through the process. Acting, just like any other art form, is very vulnerable. And it's important that you are going through the process in a very safe way. The older style of acting, or the older style of acting instruction, would be more rough. You know, mm-hmm. the teachers would be a little more rough. They would, you know, point out what you're doing, quote unquote, wrong, and, you know, try to adjust it. That's really not how we learn. And it's not the best environment. And I know I get students that will say, yeah, but I learn if you criticize me, I learn that way. I'm like, no, you actually don't. Any sort of criticism goes into your logical mind, and your mind will then create a defense against that. It actually shuts you down. Any sort of judgment or criticism, it doesn't open you up. Mm-hmm. So you want to find a school, a training program, something that gives you the freedom and safety to explore without criticism and judgment. That's very important in any of the arts. You have to find that safety. So make sure you're doing that. And then later on in your journey, as you're working with directors, to me, it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. Not every director is good at what they do.
No matter what gender.
Regardless.
Someone asked me that question not too long ago. They said, do you prefer to work with male directors or female directors? I'm like, whoever's not the asshole. It doesn't matter to me, because either way. So it is be open to that. Just because someone is, I don't know, looks less, whatever it is, doesn't necessarily mean. So yeah, the due diligence of that, to be aware of that. Because it really is, again, that emotional maturity that some people don't have, but especially for directors, because they're at the helm of it all. And if you have someone who is even quasi abusive, it's, you know, red flag, massive red flag.
And it can stay with you. The problem is, if you put up with it, and many beginning actors especially will put up with bad behavior because you don't think you can say no. We don't think we can turn down this opportunity, or don't think we can stand up or, you know, say something back to the director that, hey, this is not working for me. Actors are so afraid to do that because we don't want to lose out on the opportunity that will put up with abusive or bad behavior.
Yeah.
And not saying that anyone out there is trying to be abusive, but just like therapy, if you have someone that's guiding you that doesn't know what they're doing, or is untrained in that process, they could damage you, even if their goal is to try to help you.
Yeah.
And so that's where we see with many directors and acting teachers as well, is you just have to be very careful in your journey. Keep yourself safe. When you find somebody that you click with, stay there.
Yeah.
Do it. If it makes you feel good, you should leave an acting class feeling good. You should leave a rehearsal or whatever, or set or whatever you're doing, feeling inspired. Mm-hmm. If it's not happening, then maybe you need to look elsewhere.
Yeah, definitely. I'm thinking of the progress also. When you see your classmates making progress in the class. Let's say you do find, you know, wonderful teacher and you are witnessing everybody in class, just do a little bit better than they did last week, since it is such delicate work. Sometimes you think, oh my God, I'm not doing good, or I'm not as good as they are. It's just, if you see your class doing well, it's a good indication that you are also doing well. If you're honest with it, not too hard on yourself, but just honest with yourself. So when you see the classmates doing well and working and they're nice people, these are all like win-win-wins, you know?
Because we don't always see it in ourselves, the growth.
No, you don't.
But it is true. If you see the growth in your classmates, you're growing too.
It's a nice little, we're like, maybe I am, you know, and a little trusting. And that's another thing about learning the process, is learning how to trust. A lot of, we have difficulty trusting the teachers as a student, or, you know, it's that trusting thing that takes time too. So there's put time into it, as long as it is healthy and there is progress and you get along with the people. You don't have to be best friends with them, but you do want to challenge yourself. But you do, and you should. You should question if you have questions to the teacher. But I think the trusting, the saying, okay, I'm in hand. It's a coach. It's a basketball coach. You know, you're not going to hit like a jump shot in the same place. And if the coach says, do it from here, you're going to go, eh, no, screw you. I'm going to just keep doing it from here. Because then what good are you, you know, as the coach, you're just, or as a student, if you, you know, I always equate a lot of the acting stuff to athletic, because that's how I kind of see it in my head visually, just because practice, you know, so that helps me a lot without getting too inward. If I can just be like, all right, let me just practice this. And I see a lot of your students who are athletes or ex-athletes that they seem to kind of get it a little bit more.
You relate to, definitely.
They just a little for a time, and then until it changes and they get challenged in another way. But it's lovely to see that they can okay.
All right. Well, I think, you know, that's a good conversation. We've reached our time for today, but I think that was a good introductory session and to what we're going to be talking about. We're going to get into detail on a lot of these things going forward. And in future episodes, we can talk more specifically about certain things, which we definitely will. And we'll have other things too. We'll have different guests that we're going to be bringing in, some interviews that we'll do. But ultimately, we just want to get on here and, as artists, just kind of have a chat and talk and, I don't know, see what's going on.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
So I hope that you will join back in. Thank you for sitting through and listening to our first episode of Truthful Talk. Yes, it's awesome. And it was great to do this with you, Nat.
It's my pleasure, Marco.
And we will do it again soon.
That's right.
All right, everyone. We'll see you later. We'll see you very soon.
Bye.
Bye. If you'd like to learn more about our studio and what we do, you can find us online at truthfulacting.com. And check out truthfulactingonline.com for our Learn at Home at Your Own Pace courses.
So what I told you was true, from a certain point of view.
You must unlearn what you have learned.
I know what you're trying to do.
I'm trying to free your mind. But I can only show you the door. You're the one that has to walk through it.